Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Wednesday, April 19th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 76, reading the first full paragraph that begins with, "If we can answer to our satisfaction," and ends with, "We ask God to help us be willing." We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Shelley E., who will be reading the text, Justin B., who will be reading page 164, and Lorraine N. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Mo H., and announcements will be Lois P. The reference number for yesterday, Tuesday, April 18th, 2023, is 20,171 or 20171. And today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is, I had it, so I will get it, is 20,177 or 20177. All right, OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you so very much for your service. And good morning to everybody on the line, especially the newcomers. I am Joanne L., and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne L., and I will now ask Dottie W. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Toddy, if you can hit star one, please. Sorry, Stephanie. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Stephanie, for your service this morning and everyone that gives service to this meeting. My name is Dottie W., grateful compulsive eater in Northern Virginia. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to give this service today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dottie W. Appreciate it. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star one to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 76, reading the first full paragraph, if we can answer to our satisfaction, ending with, we ask God to help us be willing. We are reading and commenting on only one paragraph this morning. I will now ask Shelley E. to begin reading.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 76. If we can answer to our satisfaction, we then look at step six. We've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing. And thank you for letting me read today. I have several things on this. First of all, I like the sentence, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. So it's asking me here to be willing. And not only to be willing, but to realize the importance and how vital it is that I realize my character defects. when I got to this point, I remember a couple of things. Number one, I thought, wait, I'm already at step six. And then after this paragraph, I thought, whoa, wasn't that kind of short? But it's so important that I realized the big book was written this way for a reason. It's asking me just to be willing and just to see where I was resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid, and self-seeking. When I began my step four, I was the person who thought, boy, when I'm done with this, people are going to really realize how right I was. I had no idea that I was going to realize, you know, really how wrong I was. And I hate to say my part in things, because that infers that the other people have a part. But, you know, where I got the ball rolling, I really had no idea. And what a revelation it was to me, you know, in realizing where I was resentful, selfish, dishonest, afraid, and self-seeking. So at this point, I just had to be willing to see those and to let God remove them from me. I've been given subsequently a whole list of these are character defects, and if you're this way, then you need to act to be that way. And I personally don't do that, because I think that God, only God knows if I'm using my impatience in the wrong way, because at some point impatience could be an asset, but only God knows when I'm using it as a defect. So I, in my review every night, I do ask God to show me those, and I ask him to help me be more the person he would want me to be. And one other thing about this is when I read this with my sponsees, the very first time I was reading it, I thought, well, we just need to expand this. This is just not enough. I know I'm just going to be so great. I'm the best sponsor ever. I'm going to really make this a big deal. And, you know, the truth of the matter is this is all we need, one paragraph. We could supplement, and there are other OA materials that have, you know, really do go into depth on it. But really, this is all we need right here is this one paragraph, and it projects us onto our prayer. With that, I'll pass, and I'm open to feedback. Look forward to the meeting. Oh, I'm not open to feedback. I'm so sorry. Anyways, I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley E. Maybe you're open to feedback, just not right now. Just kidding. All right, this is the time in the meeting when we get the names of members who would like to share. But before that, we do value your experience. However, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So that means if you shared on Monday or Tuesday on any vision meeting, we ask that you allow others the time to share their experiences too. So please give your first name, your last initial, and where you're calling from, and we'll take some names. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Jody E., California.
Jody E. from California. Who else would like to share?
Elaine B. Yvonne A., Canada.
Donna, I heard Elaine B., and then I heard Yvonne, I believe it was, from Canada.
Donna B., Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Okay, Robin P. Deb from E. Costa Rica. Deb E. And anyone else want to get in on this first group? All right, so we'll pause there. So I've got Jody E., Elaine B., Yvonne, didn't catch your last initial, Donna B., Robin P., and Deb E. And if you can please let us know where you're calling from, we're going to go ahead and start with Jody E., followed by Elaine B.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in sunny Monterey, California. So it starts, this paragraph, with saying, if we can answer to our satisfaction. So we're answering the previous questions. There's about five of them about our fifth step. Have we been thorough with our fifth step? If we can answer to our satisfaction that we have shared everything that we can think of currently that we need to share with someone. Then we can move on to step 6, if our work is solid so far. And we've emphasized willingness as being indispensable. So we have to be willing all along the way of these steps. We have to be willing to give up the food in step 1, which is very difficult for most of us. We have to be willing to turn our will and our life over to the care of God, another huge step. We have to be willing to share all of our deepest, darkest secrets with someone, another difficult thing. And now we have to be willing to have God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable. And we have uncovered those things in our 4th step. And as was previously shared, it's what we have found in that last column. How have I been selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, and afraid? And those 4 core defects of character manifest in various ways. One of my defects of character, if you will, is procrastination, which the AA 12 and 12 says is sloth in 5 syllables. And someone else recently mentioned to me that procrastination is also fear in 5 syllables. So whatever my defects of character, however they manifest themselves, I need to be willing to look at them. I may be just as powerless over procrastination as I am over the food. So I go to God and I ask God to help me with it, because I can't change it myself. It's entrenched. Been there so long, just as the food was. So I'm not clinging to it. But there might be something I am clinging to. I hear an alarm. So I go to God because I need help with these defects that I have, these problems that I have. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Jody E. And next up, we have Elaine B. followed by Yvonne.
Thank you so much, Stephanie L. Elaine B. I recovered in Massachusetts. And, great share so far. So we've emphasized willingness and, I had to be willing to take step 3. I had to be willing to write my step 4. I had to be willing, oh my gosh, to share it with somebody else. How hard is that? The other thing is I have to be willing to keep doing this work, continue for a lifetime. And I've taken a number of fifth steps. I mean, 4 steps, and given away a number of 5th steps. And each time, it's like layer upon layer upon layer. It just goes deeper and deeper. It's new things, you know? And it's not like God is going to pull everything out of my hand. This is a place where I was doing the work writing. I was doing the willingness to let it go, to share it with somebody else. My wonderful sponsor listened to me, gave me feedback, prayed with me, and various times, various sponsors did that with and for me. But now, this power greater than myself that I came to know better once I got all that wreckage out of the way, admitting my faults, the things that were blocking me, now there's action. Now there's, am I willing for God to help me let go of these character defects, which sometimes I call character defenses? They were my survival tactics. This was how I held on and managed. And now I see, you know, that it was all based on resentment and fear and selfishness and self-seeking, and that it really wasn't working for me. And yet, oh my gosh, there's this vast open void. What am I going to be like without that? How am I going to cope without these things? How can I get rid of them? And that's the whole thing, is that it's not me that does this. This is where the power of God came in. you know, I invited God in, but now we begin to see the power of God literally changing things. Like God did, removing my obsession with the food, God wants to remove my selfish ambition, my selfish demanding my way, my codependent ways of thinking. If you change, then I'm going to be okay. Or my workaholism. You know, if I just get it done right now, everything's going to be just fine. Not because I'm a wreck, you know. And so all of these things. And I love that we get to pray for the willingness if we are not ready. Pray for the willingness. I remember in my relapse, that was something somebody told me, just pray for the willingness. And I'm so glad I did, because it led me right here to a vision for you, to all of you, and to a design for living now that I can work. And it really works. So work it. You're worth it. I pass with that.
Oh, thank you so much, Elaine B. from Massachusetts. Work it because you're worth it. Next up, we have Yvonne and then Donna B.
Good morning. I'm Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And I am recovered for today by the grace of God, but I am very new in this program. So I just had a 1-year celebration, and I realized coming through this is like how very little I know and how much more there is to learn. So I absolutely love being here on this line with all of you every morning. Step 6 for me was so interesting, because I thought this seems so simple. I've just, you know, gone through a 4 and gone through a 5. I'm on a bit of a high coming, you know, unburdening myself of,
okay,
of all of that. And and so I felt terrific. And so, of course, I was willing. Who wouldn't want all of our terrible defects, or what we see as our defects after our step 4, removed from us? I was more than willing. Until the first time that something went wrong and I had a resentment, or I was angry at somebody, and I realized how those defects were serving me. And that righteous anger that I felt, or that superiority, or the self-pity, even the ones that didn't make me, you know, feel terrific, were still providing this effect to me. And I had to really ask myself, am I honestly willing to let go of this? I realized I was very much getting something from those character defects that I had. And I had, you know, I had my go-tos that I'd been practicing for decades. And so it was little by little by little. And I keep circling back. I mean, I heard a lot when I started that we live in steps 10, 11, and 12. And step 10, really covers all of the steps. So we're living in 6 all the time as well. And I have to ask for that willingness and ask, you know, in step 7 for God to remove those things every time they come up, because they don't stop coming up. They come up less. Some things stop coming up, but there are things that come up less and less. That I have to learn how to react to differently, ask God for the willingness not to follow the usual path that I have when I find myself in that situation, and do something different, try something different, try kindness, tolerance, and love instead. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. Next, we'll have Donna B., followed by Robin P.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I also wanted to focus on a very similar sentiment. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we've admitted are objectionable? And I think the first time I came across this sentence, it was sort of like, yeah. Right? I mean, I admitted they were objectionable, and why would I want to hold on to anything that is objectionable? So, yeah, cool. Okay, ready. You know, next step. And now I have a deeper understanding that the things within my nature which are objectionable are not so readily removed especially by my own will. And in my experience with a higher power, the things that I find objectionable and I think I really, 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 really want to be removed will be removed in God's time rather than in my own time. So prior to coming to program, I had a lot of fantasy thinking around being magically sort of relieved of especially compulsive overeating, that if I went to the right Reiki healer, if I went to some other kind of energetic healer, if I went to hypnosis, if I went to, you know, that these methodologies, that in my mind there was a switch that would just turn off. And what I have found in my experience is that I can live a life of entire abstinence, and I can live a life in which my behavior, which is objectionable, can either be relieved or acknowledged when it comes up very quickly. But it is a daily practice. It's an ongoing practice. There's no, for me, magic switch that just turns it off forever and ever and forever and ever, but rather the awareness continues to grow. And with the help of a higher power, I'm afforded the opportunity to make different choices. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. And real quick, if you're just joining us, I want to let you know where we're at. We're on page 76, the top paragraph, reading and sharing on that paragraph this morning. So next up, we have Robin P. and then Deb E.
Hi, thanks so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Thanks so much, Stephanie. You know, I was thinking how much I was focusing on the word willingness, willing in this paragraph. And we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. And I think that that's, you know, all through the steps, you know, are we willing to let go? Are we willing to trust in a power greater than ourselves? Am I willing to, you know, I can't, God can, am I willing to let him? And am I willing to surrender the things? I always thought I'd be the hole in the donut, you know, and it turns out I'm just a whole lot of much better things. I'm so much more whole, and not the H-O-L-E, the W-H-O-L-E. And, you know, I also think that continuing in 10, 11, and 12 is so important. But I always remember that, you know, I can't fix myself. Like a car can't fix itself. It needs to go to somebody who can, you know, and to go back to the dealer, the maker, you know, and just literally get the help that it needs. And I feel like that when I'm trying to fix myself, I go, oh, yeah, that's right. It's not me who's doing the fixing. I can just be honest, open, and willing, and then work the steps. And still, it's a lifelong process. And I love that it says in step 10, when we are wrong. It's not once in a blue moon, if someday I am. It's, you know, when. And you know, there's when I'm clinging to something, thinking I'm right, that's when I get to go, aha, oh, this is clinging. Oh, that's what they mean. I'm being fearful. I'm being selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful. And, you know, these days, I'm so grateful. I've been abstinent for 7 years, one day at a time. And, you know, we now live in Costa Rica. I'm overlooking the ocean and the mountains. And we have two dogs who adopted us who we adore. And, you know, what I'm going through right now is we're going back to the States for 3 months. And I'm feeling fearful about helping the dogs in the best possible way. And they're jungle dogs. And so they love us. We love them. We feed them. We take care of them. They jump in the car with us, but they also love their freedom. So it's felt really tricky. And I just get to keep surrendering the fear, take the actions, just like I do with everything. I can work these steps in all my affairs, and including these two beloved dogs. And I would be very grateful for people's prayers. Their names are Beto and Pantera. So thank you so much. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Next up, we have Deb E.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. I've just kind of been looking at every sentence in this paragraph, thinking of different things. So just the first few words, if we can answer to our satisfaction, say you think of how, you know, like, have I done all my work up until this point? Is everything solid? And I feel like I think part of it is just like starting out young in program and just over the years getting older and maturing and just kind of understanding things differently also. And I think a lot of it is just like those layers of the onion that we talk about, how we just go deeper and deeper in this step work as we go along. And so that there's stuff that in the earlier years, I thought that I had really done all my work, like it was to my satisfaction, you know, and then realized after, I was like, no, there's further to go with this. There's stuff I did leave out, or there's stuff, you know, maybe that I didn't even realize needed to be discussed with someone else. And then there's other stuff that I kind of had to get pulled out of me that on my own, I didn't, you know, think needed to be addressed. So it's interesting just reflecting on like how things change over the years. I find with this work, and that's why it's always like so interesting and fascinating to me to how like I can do the same steps over and over, read the same big book over and over, and just so much more and different things come up as I go along. And I remember in the beginning having to pray to be willing to be willing. Like I needed to just pray for willingness to be willing. Like it was, I needed to go back that far, you know, to just get started. And I review my, you know, my list of character defects or defaults, as I like to call them too, and the contrary actions to them every morning. And every time I do steps, work through the steps, I have a new list, but there's often, you know, similar patterns of things that come up. And it's just worked for me as like, it's almost like these subliminal messages I send myself every morning as part of my spiritual routine when I wake up, that I'm reviewing and I'm reinforcing, you know, the behavior and the contrary action that keeps me spiritually fit. And just to remember that I need that constant reminder every day to stay in those actions, and then when I fall short of them, to remember exactly what they are and how to get back to them. And I think I'll stop with that today. Thank you. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Deb E. from Israel. And we can take some more names. I just do want to remind everyone that we do value your experience, and we do ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you share it on Monday and Tuesday on any vision meeting, please allow others to share their experience today. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Annabelle Z.
Kathleen W. I heard Annabelle Z.
Sharon E.
Sharon
Kathleen
E.
Kathleen W.
Kathleen W. I can probably take a couple more names. Anyone else want to add their name to the list? All right. Well, we'll go with these three. I've got Annabelle Z, Sharon E, and Kathleen W. Annabelle, you'll be up first, followed by Sharon E.
Well, thank you, Stephanie. My name is Annabelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Seattle area. What a paragraph. I've been kind of waiting to share on this because, I was thinking about this a lot this morning. When I did the four step, I really saw that one column that says, how did these people affect my, you know, my self-esteem, my pride, my ambition, my security, and to really see how I let the world and its people really affect me. And as a result, I retaliated and I made sure that I came out on top with words or whatever. I was had a sort of a tongue. And now I'm seeing that how other people affect me. I see how I affect other people. Because in my fourth step, I also put in, you know, who did I harm, and spoke with my sponsor about that. And so now I'm looking at, like, okay, am I ready to let go of, you know, my reactions to other people? And so I do. And what I found is, I mean, I was really willing to let go of hurting other people. But then what do I do now when other people hurt me? And so, of course, I used to be like, you know, start fighting. So now I don't fight anymore. But what do I do? And I think that's the scariest part about the sixth step. If I let these things go, what am I going to do? And it kind of reminds me of when I'm willing, entirely willing to turn my will and life over the care of God. Like, what if God's not enough? You know, what if he doesn't do what I need to do? And so there's a huge trust I have to have again. And it builds this relationship I have with my higher power. So now I have, having done the sixth step several times, and really I have to do it over and over again because people are not well. There's a lot of people out there that are spiritually sick. And in a way, it kind of triggers my spiritual sickness sometimes too. I just got in a big fight with my best friend who I've never fought with. And it all was triggered by a lot of little tiny, over the many years we've been friends, little fears, little tiny things. And it just weirdly so all blew up because there's been some change of circumstances. And I applied all my steps and my knowledge of just going when, you know, agitated or doubtful. And so, you know, I was, you know, asked God for the right thing. And I'm like, that's 10th step, I realize. But my reaction, the character defect, used to be, well, you blah, 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 you know. And I go, oh, no, I don't do that anymore. And so I say, this conversation is getting kind of heated. I think we should, you know, stop. People don't like that. People are like, no, you're copping out, you know. And it's hard to be well around people who are not well. So I have to rely on God more than anything and know that, like, if I go back later, I still have to proceed and do a ninth step if I've hurt someone, you know, even by my supposedly healthy ways, you know, that people don't necessarily take to that. I think that's my time. So this work is simple. I get good instructions. It can be really hard, but I do trust also that it's for the best, and God knows the best for me. But that's all I have to share. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you so much, Annabelle V. from Seattle, Washington. Next up, Sharon E., followed by Kathleen W.
Hi, it's Sharon E. from Ohio. Thank you, everyone, for your service today. I appreciate these meetings so much. I appreciated what just said. It's hard to be well-rounded or not well because I kind of know what to talk about. One of the questions is in this paragraph is, are we still clinging to something we will not let go? Like
Sharon, it's kind of hard to hear you. You're muffled. Can you is there something you can adjust? It's hard to hear you.
Can you hear me better?
Oh my gosh, that is so much better. Thank you.
Okay, I put the phone to my ear. So I agreed with the lady that was talking before me. It's hard to be well around those who are not. Are we still clinging to something we will not let go? That's the question in the paragraph. And it's like dealing with those that we live with, and are they dealing with their own issues? Well, of course they are. So, but if I understand I'm being fearful and controlling, which is what I found in step four, that was my main problems, then I can let go of whatever it is every day on each occasion, because that's what it comes down to for me. I can't just say, oh, today I'm going to let go of everything and then just let go, because obviously I get triggered at different things. So, I mean, it might be easier if I didn't live with anyone, but having to deal daily with anyone, but I do. So I need to see that with the willingness, I need to release my stranglehold on the control of whatever situation I might find myself in. And that means I have to be willing to be vulnerable, which I hate, because that just leads me right back to fear. So higher power, higher power, higher power. And I wrote on the side, I'm not always able. Well, duh, that's why I'm here. I'm not able. So somebody else has to take control. I go back and forth in my own head so quickly sometimes. Yes, some of that's ADD, but that's beside the point. But anyway. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for letting me share, and you have a wonderful day.
Oh, thank you so much, Sharon E., and then we've got Kathleen W.
Good morning. This is Kathleen W. I'm a I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, sugar addict, and not cured today. But, oh my heavens, so grateful. I really love this paragraph and the simplicity of it. It's almost like anticlimactical in some ways, but for me, it was very powerful. And all of the shares, I so appreciate the shares that I heard today to so enhance this paragraph for me and the meaning of it. I'm mostly just claiming my seat for today because I've been leaning out of this fellowship for a while. And I want to kind of lean back in and become a part of it because I do appreciate it. But this, talks about willingness. And I like the question one of the ladies asked, is God going to be enough? That's what I came to, too. It was like, oh, now I'm not going to rely upon my own ability to modify my behavior in some ways because it isn't up to me to modify my behavior. This is a spiritual work that God has to do within and transforming me. And, faith without works, a lot of people like to quote that scripture that's actually in the Bible, but there's also talk in the same text about works without faith are dead. Faith without works is dead, but works without faith are dead. And I have to come to that place on step 6, that my works to modify my behavior and try to rid myself of these bedevilments and these things that are part of my human nature. It's dead works without faith, without trusting God. And can he now take them all, like this, like the woman said today, is God going to be enough? Is he going to take them all? Can he do that? Or do I have to do something myself? And yes, we do the step work. Yes, that's part of our work. But God has to do the inner transformation. And I love this last thing, it's like if we still cling to something, we will not let go of. We ask God to help us be willing. And so that, what comes next is that seventh step, which is a step of humility. But just asking God and trusting in God, despite my unwillingness, despite my wanting to try and make myself better, if God can do an inner transformative work within me, like it says, my Creator has entered my heart and is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And that's what I have to rely upon in this step 6, is not my works, but faith that God can actually do this work in me and remove these things. And I think the beginning of this is even our willingness.
Gentle reminder.
Step 5. And I'll close with this. I believe the work of being willing and God doing this work is part, comes from this willingness to even do the step 4 and 5. And with that, I'll close. Thank you.
And Kathleen, where are you from?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm from Illinois. I know I left something out.
From Illinois. That's okay. That's all right. And we have time to take two more. We can do two more shares. We're on top of page 76, first paragraph. Who would like to share? We've got time for two more.
Darian K.
I've got Darian K. And if Yvonne B, it sounds like?
D is a dog.
Yvonne D, all right. So, Darian K followed by Yvonne D as in dog. You're up, Darian K.
Oh, good morning. This is Darian K from the Berkshires in Massachusetts. I'm gratefully recovered for today and grateful to be on the line with all of you, wonderful people. And, yeah, I was just thinking, it's so interesting, the words that are used in this book. And I don't know why it came to mind, but the word cling made me think of static cling. And, how annoying that is, right? When we have like something you know, that's just clinging to us, and we're just, we try to pull it away and it sticks again. And, you know, and that's kind of how it is with some of our defects of character. We just, you know, they're annoying. We know that we want to get rid of them, but it's just very hard to do. You know, we don't have the right spray to get rid of them. You know, we're just, it's hard. But, you know, I know that how important it is. And, you know, I've done many fourth and fifth steps. And so I continually look at, you know, my character defects in the sixth step. And, you know, there are some that are, you know, patterns along the way. And, you know, just having that willingness to even look at them is huge. You know, not to just say, well, that's the way I am. You know, take it or leave it. you know, because that's sort of what I want to say, but I know that that's not beneficial or constructive. And that's not going to really help me in this world that I'm in. I'm trying to live a better life than I did before program. So now sort of I know better, so I'm going to do better. And, you know, it takes willingness. Everything seems to. Willingness is the key, really, that unlocks that door. To many, many things in this program. You know, it started with the willingness to put the food down for one day and to you know, trust and rely that I would survive that day without, you know, whatever foods I thought I couldn't live without. And then it, you know, it just, you know, goes into, you know, more in our lives that we become willing to let go of or to do that you know, just help us. And I have a situation with my daughter, and she's just not following my script. And so, you know, that willingness to let go of my control and my how I think she should act and react and the way things she should say, you know, that's just, it's something that comes up. It's a character defect, that control and that I don't know. I think if she follows my rules, I'll feel better. And I just have to remember that's just not the way the world works. So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that I continually look and seek, find, and try to make better.
Gentle reminder.
Because I have this program. Thank you. And, you know, I appreciate all the shares today. Such honesty and willingness in everybody. So thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Darian K. And Yvonne D., we've got like 1 minute. Do you think you can do a 1 minute share?
Oh, sure. I kind of just caught the end of the meeting. My name's Yvonne. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I'm an addict and a compulsive overeater. I just wanted to, you know, kind of chime in on the willingness. I've had some lapses just recently, and I think that comes when I put my own will in place. And I like what someone said, you know, work without faith and faith without works is all dead. And I think for me, when I put my faith and I put my will in God instead of my own, I'm able to stay abstinent and work a good program. And that's really all I had to share today. Thank you for letting me share. There's been some great shares.
Oh, thank you so much, Yvonne D. And where are you calling from? That's okay. We'll get that next time. All right. It's that time. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Justin B., will you please read A Vision for You?
Yeah, thanks, Stephanie. This is Justin B. from the state of Washington and living in the state of recovery. This is A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.